Welcome back to Farm Talk, North Dakota Corn Council Studio at Big Iron here at the Legacy Seeds booth. We're just very grateful to all the guys at Legacy Seed who are here, and hey, they're selling seed to a big crowd here today. At the Ellingson booth out in front of Scholander Pavilion, if you come here tomorrow or Thursday, be sure you stop by the Ellingson booth, Ellingson Drainage, Drain Tile, and they have a guy who is an expert in all issues when it comes to water rights and maybe sticking some tile pipe in the ground, John Kolb of Rinky Noonan. Good to see you again, John.
Hi, Mick. What a difference a month and a half makes, huh?
Yeah, we were sweating like banshees there at Farm Fest and Dakota Fest. And
yeah, I feel a little bad. I think some of my clients would have liked maybe a 20 or more heating days here in the latter part of the year here, and they didn't get them. But, you know, we're all here today with sweatshirts and jackets on, and I got to take my hat off to the clients and the farmers just for having that optimism and keep putting it back, especially in a year where it seems like it's been a fight all year, whether it's been the markets or getting the crop in the ground or now worried about yields and those sorts of things. So it's just good to see everybody here today, and obviously good to see you and have a chance to talk to you again.
Thank you. About water rights.
And sure.
Yesterday, the rain we got, it even went over to St. Cloud. You got big rain. 2, 3, some 4-inch rains. This is like, oh, my gosh, not what's next? It just keeps on coming this year.
Well, you know, I think we're seeing changes. There's no question about it. We're getting more rain, different frequency of larger rainstorms. It's coming at different times of the year. Our winters are different. All those things are things that we're going to have to deal with, especially in areas where we're trying to maintain agriculture. Water's an issue. We're dealing with heavy soils, limited outlets, limited conveyance. And there's a bottom of the hill. That water's all got to go somewhere. And what we use and how we manage it prudently and what regulations are in place, those are all just a real maze that people have to work their ways through while, you know, for the individual farmer, they're just trying to be as productive and as efficient and as good a land stewards as they can be.
There is an education process, though, for those downstream, right? Are we beyond the NIMBY, not in my backyard, and all of the, I guess, misinformation and disinformation out there about drain tile?
Well, you know, tile is tile in the right location and for the right application can be a very good thing. It frees up carrying capacity in the soil profile. I think what it sends downstream is obviously of concern to people, but we have ways of I think, managing that. Mostly it's nitrate that comes out of the tile. But there's a certain amount of background that's going to come off the landscape anyway. And I think people are the downstream folks, especially if they're concerned, obviously, if they're going to get flooded, those are all real concerns. But I think a lot of what we have to understand is that this is a balancing act. Everything we do on the landscape has a consequence, and in many cases there are some negative consequences to that. But at the same time, we're trying to feed a population, we're trying to secure a food supply, we're trying to provide an economical resource for people and for industry and for all of these different interests. And we're going to have to really work hard to make sure that those interests are balanced well so that the economy can continue, number one. But number two, so that we can address and work toward having clean water, cheap food, all of those things that people want.
Sure. And at the Ellingson booth here today, you've been getting in years past, talk on the radio, hey, bring your charts, bring your problems. And have you been getting some of those things laid at your feet today, John?
I had a couple people come in today with Fish and Wildlife Service easement maps and really wanting to understand what the limits and extent of their rights were, what the limits and extents of the rights that were conveyed to the United States under those easements were, what the obligations are. We're seeing the Fish and Wildlife Service, especially in this part of the country, so eastern Dakotas, southwestern Minnesota, really trying to find its way on how it balances all of its interests in the National Refuge System and the waterfall production and other resource interests that it has, and trying to balance that against the reality of trying to be a good neighbor and having neighbors that are trying to manage things on their land that often bump up against those federal interests. So we see a lot of that, and I did have some people come by today with their maps and give me a chance to look at what they've got and look at their easements and give them some ideas of how to work well with their neighbor.
Visited with Jeff Mertz, who's the president of North Dakota Grain Growers, who went out to Washington, D.C. last week. Some folks got a letter doubling their setbacks. Have you dealt with that issue?
We have dealt with that issue, and then they were actually out there with a colleague of mine from the office, Cale Van Bruggen. And what we're seeing is, you know, most agricultural producers that are involved in the farm program are used to Natural Resource Conservation Service setbacks. So when you put a tile in, you don't want it to be too close to the wetland boundary because it's going to, like a straw, suck water off to the side and pull it into the tile from that wetland. Fish and Wildlife Service has a little bit different concern. It's not a minimal effect, but they want no effect. And so they're trying to use very complex equations to say, how far away do you have to go before there's no effect at all? And in many cases, that's very arbitrary because you're using an equation that never gives you a zero effect.
But how can, is that legally allowed? I guess they're from the government, they can, but...
The National Refuge Improvement Act says that you can't take any action within the refuge that's harmful to the refuge, within the refuge. So people that have easements for waterfowl production, they have restrictions on wetlands that are within those easements. There is a reasonable setback on those properties that are covered by easements. Where we have the problem is where it's a neighboring landowner that has no easement. The government never bought a right from that person. And now this neighbor is trying to say you can't do something on your land that the rest of law would otherwise allow you to do. And that's troubling, and that was a topic of conversation when these folks were in Washington. I think that at the administrative level, some of the senior administrators, they recognize this problem. A lot of this is an issue of local interpretation. A lot of this is an issue of just incomplete guidance or incomplete rules at the federal level. And like I say, people are trying to find their way under circumstances now that are changed.
All right. So, but this is where lawyers come in. It is not uncharted territory, but it's certainly the valley of the shadow for a lot of farmers who are having a tough go of it.
Well, I agree. And most people are looking and, you know, they get an answer from their regulator or the government and they say, well, they must know, so I'm just going to do it. And what we're finding is that a lot of times that answer is not what's prescribed by law, but it's what's just developed in the culture of the agency over time. It may be just a local administrator that wants things to be a certain way. And so we're always cautious to advise people, you know, be polite, ask the questions. If the first answer is no, ask why. Mm-hmm. Try to understand all of those things. And, yeah, I guess we could be called a necessary evil in the legal industry. But, you know, that's part of our job. Part of our job is to take that stress away from that landowner, find somebody who's got the ability and the knowledge and the experience to work within these regulations, to work with the agencies. And if there's a solution or there's a different answer that's more favorable to that landowner, that's what we're hoping for. And if there isn't one, then we can educate the landowner as to what the limit and extent of their rights and obligations are as well.
Yeah, it's all pretty fuzzy to a guy who just likes to grow corn.
Right, we're at that easy.
Yeah. Is it getting easier, though, to put drain tile in as compared to a decade ago?
Well, from the technological standpoint, it's absolutely easier. You know, we have different machinery, different ways to plan it out, and you can be much more strategic and precise in where you put it. From a regulatory standpoint, a decade, I think it depends on the environment you're in. You know, the Federal Farm Program, the Food Security Act, Swamp Buster really hasn't changed that much in the last 10 years. So those rules are pretty much set. But the application, for example, of the Clean Water Act by the Corps of Engineers and what constitutes waters of the United States and what constitutes a discharge of dredge or fill material, all of those have been in flux in the last 10 years. And I think there's a perception that trying to do anything on the landscape dealing with water today is more complex and a little less predictable because, again, some of this regulation is evolving. Some of the thoughts on how the regulation should be applied, some of those thoughts are evolving. And then we get a lot of local people that just, they think the world should work a certain way, and that's not necessarily the way the law would require the world to work. And so Right. We run into those problems. So I'd say it's probably more and more difficult today than it was 10 years ago, but there are some new pitfalls that have opened themselves up since maybe we had this experience 10 years ago.
But the North Dakota legislature has passed some laws that should streamline getting drain tile in easier, right?
That's absolutely true. The permitting process in North Dakota for drain tile has undergone a lot of revision in the last 10 years. In the last few years, I think some real improvements in terms of where the burdens lie when a producer comes in wanting to do a drain tile project and how you get those approved, how you get those reviewed, how you resolve landowner conflict, you know, neighboring landowner conflict. So I think in North Dakota, it has become easier. But when you think about it, too, we're doing a lot more tiling today than we did 10 years ago as well. And so the need to have a process that was more streamlined and a little bit more efficient and effective was there more recently than it was a decade ago as well. It's in this part of the country anyway.
Well, farmers don't farm without a crop consultant. They don't farm, they don't sell their crops without a professional broker, ag marketer. And I guess in these areas, it's important to not farm without a lawyer. So how do guys get a hold of you, John?
We can be found on the web at www.rinkynoonan.com. And we're offices in St. Cloud, but we work all over the Dakotas and Iowa and Wisconsin and Minnesota.
And you work closely with the guys in North Dakota and South Dakota and help some of the attorneys who work here, I understand.
Exactly. So, we will consult with anybody that wants a second opinion or a little bit of additional insight on some of our experiences in water law.
All right. Or come by the Ellingson booth here at Big Iron next couple of days. You'll be there, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. John Kolb of Rinky Noonan, thank you very much for the visit.